You're listening to a Whales or Whales production.
You're also listening to Whales.
Visit whalesorwhales.com for more projects and shows like this one.
This is the Overclocked Podcast, a weekly dose of video game music news and conversation from ocremix.org.
This week, we'll give up pronouncing remix titles entirely, get the inside scoop on what Scarlet Moon Productions has been up to from Jason Napolitano himself, and continue our trend of reading Jake Kaufman's Twitter feed and reporting it as news.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 10 of the Overclocked Podcast. This is our 10th anniversary. I am your host, Brian, and joining me today is my brother and co-host, Steven. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
Hi, I am the Mario to his Luigi.
So we almost didn't end up recording this episode, fun fact, because when we started the Skype call, Steven decided to repeat everything I said after me.
After him.
That doesn't quite count because it isn't exactly what I said. But it was so annoying that I hung up and refused to talk to him or do the show.
A little backstory. Oftentimes, before and after the podcast, we break down mentally. this is the only time that we are sound throughout our day.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of sound, let's move on to our first segment today.
That was
the secret
so much better
song.
Than mine's.
Yes, I know.
Okay, the secret songs.
So I think we're going to start with mine this week, because I think we started with yours last week.
All right.
So let's go ahead and click on three. You ready?
Oh, man. I wonder what you... I had a slightly hard time finding a secret song this week. So I'm curious to see what you have.
So all click right. on three. One, two, three.
Wait, that's not how we do it. It's one,
Wait,
two, three,
what?
Click.
It's one, two, three, click. Click. Well, it said click. Okay. One, two, three, click.
It's jazzy. I'll give you that.
Bass.
It's also putting me in a mellow mood. Like I could do some announcing over this. Talking about race cars or something.
I love that bass.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what's magical?
This song?
This song representing the fact that there's always something special musically out there that I haven't heard yet.
I would love this for like a show theme song, that piano coming in.
I wish I had
Or like for a quiz
this.
Show segment we have or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So any guesses what this is from?
I mean, it sounds like a game that would be in a drive-in game.
What if I told you it came out in 2015?
Is it Persona something?
What if I told you it was Nintendo?
Well, I know what game I'm buying this month.
I don't think so.
What is it?
It is...
Wait. Is it Style Savvy?
I don't even know what that is.
Dang it. What is it?
It is Expert Stage Map from Pokemon Shuffle.
No kidding.
Pokemon Shuffle has fantastic music.
And where did you find out about this?
I literally looked at 2015 releases and said, I never listened to Pokemon Shuffle soundtrack and started listening to it.
Man, it just goes to show you can't dismiss something if it has the name Nintendo on it.
No, there's probably going to be cool stuff in it. Yeah, there are tons of great songs from this, this game.
Are they all...
They're a very different style from that one, but it goes to a lot of different places. It actually, because it's based on the X and Y world, there are a lot of like those French-inspired songs on it.
Oh, yeah.
With accordion and stuff. So,
but that is just a phenomenal sounding bass.
Yes.
It's
that's
so
what sells that.
Full, and you can like hear the strings vibrating.
Yep. So I was a big fan of the production values on that, and also with the piano coming in, the super reverb-y. It just has a very, very Persona-like. That was actually a really good guess.
Yeah.
Relaxed kind of jazz fusion piece. So, yeah, let's go on to yours now.
Okay, let's go into mine now.
And I realize for people, we did not explain what the secret songs were. We're assuming people are up to date on that.
Yeah, I feel like since we're on our 10th anniversary regarding episode count rather than actual years, we don't need to explain the segment every time.
But I think we should have a quick... Very quick
little time for the secret songs where we
share secret songs with each other.
Yeah, or
each week
like that.
We bring one secret song for the other to listen to, and the goal is to find a song that the other person has not heard before.
Yeah.
And since we both listen to a lot of video game music and have very similar contexts, it is interesting to see if we can get there. I succeeded. I found both a good song and one that you had no idea what it was. So.
Now, this one's really a toss-up for me. I have no idea if you have happened to listen to this particular song, but you definitely know the source material.
All right.
So, one, two, three, click.
Okay.
It's not World Warcraft something, is it?
It's World Warcraft something, it is.
Oh, okay. I got the melody in there.
Yeah.
All right, I have not heard this. This is amazing.
There's something that just melts you. Like, it makes you want to go out into the world and become a hero.
This is really good. So this is Cole Tiras from Mists of Pandaria.
Yeah,
the best
second
Warcraft
volume.
Soundtrack.
Yeah, I agree. It's from the second volume.
I was like, this is just too subtle and beautiful for World of Warcraft, right? And then I forgot what Russell Brower had done with World of Warcraft over the past few years.
Yeah, I can't confirm if Russell Brower composed this specific song.
Well, no, I just mean the general
but
vibe
his direction, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's I haven't encountered this in the game as far as I know. Actually, Cole Tiras from my... I know a lot about World of Warcraft lore, but for every piece of lore that I know, I've forgotten two pieces.
Yeah.
And speaking of lost pieces, I think Cole Tiras was a human city that was lost to time. Like, I think it literally, like, was pulled away from the rest of the continent and is floating out there in the sea somewhere. And I don't think it was in Mists of Pandaria. I think it's still, like, just unknown and lost to the world, so I don't know why it was called that, but I also could be very wrong. But I thought it was the perfect like hint of like slight mystery, but like beauty from the past.
Yeah, I think you're right about all the things you said. I looked it up. Yeah, it seems to be drifted off to sea during the cataclysm and has never been seen again.
I mean, it's a perfect like little expansion pack world to go visit someday.
Man, that is beautiful.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well,
now what if you were to play that backed by the slap bass from Pokemon?
A thing would happen.
A thing would happen. Speaking of things happening, Brian.
Oh, geez. Yeah, it's time for the Remix Rewind, where we run down all of the recent OC Remix remixes. That's a lot of remix from the past week. Here we go. Let's look at the
Does Dreamcatcher from Skripnik sound familiar to you? Well, listener, either the trance-like state of this ethereal remix is already lulling you into a state of déjà vu, or you heard the original version on Lucid Dreaming, the OCR Nights into Dreams album. It's been polished up and released as a standalone reason to fall into a pleasant daze.
Toxic Eternity obviously likes guitars and video game music, so OC Remix is a natural home for his debut song, Aquatic Shreddience. A Donkey Kong Country remix based on the source tune, I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? While Toxic's inclination of rock is evident, he keeps the tone varied by blending a combination of acoustic and electric instrumentation that moves easily along into an exquisitely played solo.
The newest creation from Sir Nuts is a Street Fighter 2 remix called, to break out the old Russian accent, and gives Zangief a jetpack fueled by pure synth, cheering him on as he bursts into unexplored starscapes and musical genres. I highly recommend checking the site for an in-depth look at the nuts and bolts of how it came to be.
Drum Ultima continues to pleasantly surprise us with an expressive and lonely pop mix using Final Fantasy VII's Desert Wasteland. Holding Hands manages to fill me with a distinct sense of apprehension and melancholy, even though the source tune and lyrics remain complete mysteries to me. Guess we just got one more reason for me to actually play through this game.
Don't you think that things have gotten out of hand? Guess it's not the life that either us had planned. Seems like yesterday our home was this wasteland. When I was the one who always hold your hand.
To hear this and a whole bunch more, head over to ocremix.org. And we're back. I hope you enjoyed the collection of remixes from ocremix.org this week.
Speaking of a collection of things that have to do with music, it's time for our Ripped, Zipped, and Extracted from the Headline segment.
Man, we are professionals.
Yeah, I think our segues are just getting better with every episode.
They're even smoother and more unnoticeable when we point them out every time.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So, our first piece of news today is from Jake Kaufman's Twitter feed, my personal favorite news source.
Definitely.
I keep up on the Republican primaries there. I keep up on the situation in the Middle East, and I keep up on Jake Kaufman's fever dreams. All
I have
from
seriously considered only following Jake Kaufman
on
and
Twitter.
Using that as my sole Twitter feed.
Yes.
But he has two pieces of really exciting news.
Wait, these are both from his Twitter feed?
Well, actually, he had a lot of personal life things that have been exciting for him. So good job, Jake Kaufman.
Good job, Jake.
Good dog, also.
Good dog, yeah. Nugget's awesome.
But the two things that are really relevant, I think, to everyone. One, he dyed his hair. It looks really good. And thing number two.
No, this is becoming a tabloid podcast. I was hoping you'd catch that. Yeah.
But the actual thing I wanted to report on, which I think is worth reporting on, is that he has recently made a purchase and is co-owning. Is that how you want to say
sure.
that? He now co-owns.
He is now a co-owner.
He is now a co-owner of a recording studio.
Yep.
And he was able largely to do that with the royalties and money he got from Shovel Knight, which is pretty awesome. So he is going to be able to build a fairly sizable studio and pack it with all the things he needs, and he apparently has very, very big plans on what he wants to do with it.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited for that, because he's been able to do a lot with a little so far, so I imagine he'd be able to do a lot with a lot.
I know. Yeah, well, I remember way back when I just discovered Jake Kaufman, I tweeted out saying, someone needs to give this man an orchestra.
Yeah.
And I was surprised, like, when he immediately came back and said, I've been saying that for years. So he's, like, been trying to, from what I can understand, you know, have the means to do bigger and crazier stuff for a long time. So this seems like a pretty significant step in that direction.
Totally. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. You know what else is awesome?
What's that?
Freddie Mercantree.
That is just a good name.
It is just a good
name. So explain to me, what is Freddie Mercantree?
Freddie Mercantree is the singing shopkeeper from Necrodancer, or Crypt of the Necrodancer, rather.
Right.
That is that roguelike rhythm game that Danny B did the soundtrack to.
Okay.
And one of the coolest parts of it, and something that was featured in the playlist 2015, is this little singing dude who sells you items. Whenever you get close to him in the game, you start to hear his Vocaloid operatic voice.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I guess, have you ever heard it before?
Yes.
I'm glad. Something I even did for the playlist is I had both versions, with and without the shopkeeper. And so for the selection that we played, I would fade it in and fade it out throughout the
Yes.
mix, so you could hear both versions. Anyway, the Crypt of the Necromancer guys are now selling a plush toy that seems...
Yeah, I was looking at this plush toy, and I'm like, okay, that's a pretty cool plush toy. A little expensive, and then I saw that it sings when you squeeze it.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right, well, they're justifying their cost there. That's pretty amazing.
Now, they do say it is ages 14 and up.
Whoa.
I don't know why.
You're so right, they do.
Beware if you're giving it to teenagers or children.
That's really weird.
The other warning I wanted to offer is it's a limited run. So you best pre-order it if you want your singing shopkeeper from Crypto.
Are you buying one?
I haven't decided yet. I feel like I've spent a lot of frivolous
money. Are you
money.
Saying this seems like a trivial purchase?
I'm just saying it's competing with my Amiibo cash.
Ah, gotcha.
But Amiibos don't sing, so...
Yeah, not yet.
Basically, this is a news announcement on what to get me for Christmas.
All right. Well, that's a long... We have a long time to prepare, so... Yeah. Good to know. So what's up next, Steven?
I don't know. That's all the news.
Okay.
That's all the news for now. And speaking of which, I want to make a little minor, a little and minor call out for
a little
the news
small
segment.
Minor?
A little small minor,
insignificant. Yes.
Which is to say, if you have things that you think we should cover, big or small, part of the community, part of the larger video game music industry, definitely let me know because I'm always looking for new stuff.
Well, I decided in effort to, you know, expand and make this podcast, you know, more interesting to your general audience, I typed music news into Google. Metallica, Canadian cover band, reconcile over cease and desist letter is what came up. So that's a thing that happened in music. And now we're going to move on to our Intune interview with Jason Napolitano.
Sorry, I got to break in here for 1 second. This particular interview has some technical difficulties because Jason was recording from the Philippines without the capabilities to capture his own audio, working on a shaky Wi-Fi connection in a typhoon from a house filled with people. That said, we did not let that stop us. Here's proof. It's another Intune interview. I'm Steven, your host as usual, and here's my brother Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really well. And this time we are joined by our old pal, Jason Napolitano, who is a remixer and also the dude behind Scarlet Moon Productions. So Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Coming to you from the Philippines.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was the fun thing about scheduling this interview. It's getting to be late at night for us, and Jason is having a delightful morning.
Yeah, it's 10 a.m. and there's a typhoon coming, so it's rainy and...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Nice and moody. So Jason, we have had you on Train Station at 8, our previous video game music podcast before.
Like three times or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was multiple times, definitely. But for those who are not so familiar with your work and what you do, could you give us a quick overview?
Sure. So Scarlet Moon Productions is kind of an umbrella for three different branches of the company. There's Scarlet Moon Records, which fans should probably be most familiar with. That's where we put out some soundtracks from, you know, ranging from Saturday Morning RPG to Dragon Fantasy Book 2 to our kind of flagship series, Prescription for Sleep, Game Music Lullabies. And so that's the record label. Then we have the artist group, where I work with developers and our roster of composers, who a lot of the listeners should know, Hitoshi Sakimoto and Hiroki Kikuta and Vince DiCola and several other Jake Kaufman, several other composers that I work with that I try to find work, essentially, and manage their workloads with them. And then the promotions aspect is PR related for game music. So whether it's a record label or a composer or somebody putting out an album, I can work with them to help spread the word to media and other channels. So,
yeah.
And that's one reason we're doing this interview a little bit differently than we have in the past, because we're not just going to be talking about a song. We're going to be covering an entire album, I guess, because of what Gentle Love is putting out right now. And I guess, speaking of overviews, what's that about, Jason?
So yeah, I've worked with Norihiko Hibino, the composer who's worked on Metal Gear Solid series and Boktai and Zone of the Enders and a bunch of other franchises at Konami. He branched out from Konami and went to found his own studio called Gem Impact, and they worked on a bunch of different titles, Ninja Blade, more Metal Gear, and so on. And I got in touch with him when I was writing about game music, actually. And over the years, we've been in touch. And I worked with him in somewhat of a PR capacity at one point. And I guess I could say this, maybe he had what was seemingly from the outside what we would call in the West a midlife crisis, where you know, he kind of thought about what he was doing and what he wanted to accomplish. And what he's decided is that he wants to focus his energies on the therapeutic applications of music. So he is actually developing a speaker system called the Rinshu, which you can see at rinshu.net. It's like a wooden carved yacht that is actually, it's an amplification system for sound. So he's recorded a library of therapeutic music featuring, you know, small ensembles, and others performing this kind of relaxing, easy listening music. And it's played on the speaker system. And, one of the performing duos that he's kind of developed to record some of this music is Gentle Love. And that consists of Hibino-san on saxophone and a pianist named Ayaki, who's recorded on the Persona Q and A-Train Odyssey series. So the two of them have performed music for their sound library. And I said, well, wouldn't it be really neat to record an album of live music for sleeping and kind of elevate the music to be more accessible? So maybe you could turn somebody on to game music who otherwise wouldn't have any interest by featuring live music with these, you know, professional performers. And them to say, oh gosh, this is from video games. Maybe I'm going to go kind of check this out. So I worked with him on this series. We put out volume one in 2014. We put out volume two in April 2015. And, you know, what we were talking about me coming on the program was to talk about the latest album that just came out on December 1st, which is Prescription for Sleep, Lullabies of Mana, which is dedicated entirely to the soundtrack of Secret of Mana. So that's kind of where that's evolved and what they've done and where they're at.
Yeah, and you might have actually heard some of Gentle Love stuff on this very program, listeners, because we've talked about it during the news sections in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Lullabies of Mana, and it's always been kind of an interesting one because, I mean, I'm the a special kind of person who can fall asleep pretty much any time of day or night if I need to, no problem. But Brian, you have actually used video game music to, you know, help you fall asleep in the past.
Oh yeah, I absolutely love listening to music as I sleep and as I go to sleep.
So you are like an actual test subject of the Prescription for Sleep.
Yeah, I've used Prescription for Sleep several times.
Yeah, so well done for contributing to the product. So I guess kind of my first question for you, Jason, is what the recording process is like for these albums.
So actually, the recording process was probably pretty unremarkable by most standards, since I couldn't be there at the recording session, and Hibino-san and Iyaki are both really talented jazz performers and great at improvisation. Essentially, what I'm doing for each volume is picking out the songs and preparing a little document that kind of talks about what's going on in the context of the game associated with that song and, you know, some basic feelings that they should be shooting for. Hibino will go ahead and prepare a note chart of the melody, and then, you know, that might even just be half a page, and then they'll go ahead and just improvise, and they don't really know how many times they're going to go through it, they don't really know exactly what they're going to do, but they have the melody in front of them, and based
on
their...
So they're both just sitting there with their instruments and just making takes.
Usually, you know, actually most of them are in one take.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so, they'll, you know, they'll basically pick out the melody line. And, you know, if you listen to any of the arrangements, they're kind of, you know, I don't want to take the magic out of it, but I mean, you can hear it. It's kind of formulaic in that they'll start the song off with whatever, you know, aspect of the melody they want to begin with. And they'll perform that maybe once or twice through, and then they'll completely improvise on those melodies. And then they'll come back at the end to that melody to close things out. So, yeah, I mean, you have things where, you know, I feel like with this album, they really weaved a lot of that melodic content into the improvisation more so that you kind of feel the original track all throughout. Whereas, you know, you might go back to some of the earlier albums and it's a little more abstract in terms of, you know, the ties that the improvised section will have with the original melody, but it's there if you listen really closely. But I thought they did a really good job this time around of kind of, you know, I had tracks on this album that like had to be there that aren't necessarily my original favorites, but you know, some of those actually were my favorite songs on the album. So I was really kind of surprised.
Yeah, and speaking of like picking which tracks to include. Did you try to, you know, steer away from songs that wouldn't make good, you know, essentially good and relaxing and suitable lullabies? Or did you kind of depend on them to turn it into something different?
Yeah, so that's a good point. It's, you know, with the first volume, I basically selected songs that were already somewhat sleep-inducing. And so it was kind of easy to imagine those as lullabies. But for the second album, I wanted to challenge them, so I included things that were more melodic and a little more upbeat, like the DuckTales Moon theme, for example. You know, that's not something that you would imagine as a lullaby. So this time around, I actually just kind of picked key songs. I mean, I guess I stayed away from things like Danger, which is the boss battle theme, and Meridian Dance, which is the final battle theme. And, but I feel like for the most part, it's not too aggressive of a soundtrack anyway. And, you know, that's part of the reason why I selected Secret of Mana was that I was always tempted with every volume to pick Secret of Mana songs. And if you listen to the first volume, there's actually my favorite Secret of Mana song, A Wish, which is from the snow area of the game. That's on the first volume. But I said, okay, well, you know, I feel like Secret of Mana had kind of this vibe of Mother Earth and nature and healing and those kinds of themes, which were really in line with what Gentle Love is all about and what Hibino Sound Therapy Lab is all about. So yeah, but you know, in terms of the source material, you're actually kind of touching on what I want to do next with the series. And so, you know, keep your ears and eyes open for what's next, because I think it's going to be pretty surprising.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised to kind of see this as a running, consistent series of albums, because when it first came out, I thought it was going to be kind of a one-shot idea. And then I remember, I think we were talking to you even, and you're like, no, we're going to do another one. And then another one came out.
Who do you think,
and so
like,
are you guys...
Who do you think, sorry to interrupt you, Stephen.
Oh, go ahead, Brian.
Something came to my mind while you were saying that. Who was like leading that decision to keep them going? Was that something that Norihiko really wanted to do? Was it something that you brought to him? The idea of like making this a long-running series of albums?
We've had discussions about it. I mean, to be honest with you guys, the albums aren't selling a whole lot.
Right.
But they,
kind of a niche thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the second album got so much press. I mean, it was on Wired, it was on Kotaku, it was on every major gaming website. And, you know, we got a lot of traffic to the website. The trailer got a lot of traffic on YouTube and so on.
Right.
And, you know, what I came to Hibino-san with, you know, maybe 2 months after the album released was, well, hey, you know, it took us a year or more to break even on the first volume. And it took us 2 months to break even on the second volume. Should we do another one? And he said, yeah, I think, you know, he believes in essentially the kind of, again, the mission of therapeutic music. And I think that this is great because it allows him to bridge the gap between his fans of his work in video games with what he wants to do now with his, you know, musical career. And so, you know, I think we came to the decision as long as we're breaking even on the albums, we'll keep making them. And I, you know, what I see just from, you know, the financial standpoint is each time you put something out, people buy the old albums, and you know, Louder makes it easy to do that because you can bundle them. So, yeah, you know, we're offering the bundles. And, you know, maybe I would say a third, maybe, of the people who are buying the Lullabies of Mana are also buying Volume 2. And Volume 1 isn't very far behind it. So what that tells me is that these are new people who are coming to the album and learning about it and buying the whole entire set. So I think there's a lot of people to reach. I think I kind of have a vision for what the series is going to be, and you know, there's a couple more albums that I want to do, but it's not, you know, I have an ending in mind.
Right.
So unless you know, I get a huge influx of messages and tweets and mail saying, "Hey, we need another album." And I decided to take that to Kickstarter or something like that. It's probably gonna end at some point in the next year or two. But I totally. The next, you know, I wanted, that's why the Volume 3 is actually dedicated to an entire game. As I didn't want to just keep doing the same thing.
Right.
So, you know, Volume 1 and 2 are both, compilations, and this was dedicated to an entire, game. And then, you know, the next one is going to be kind of devoted to a concept, and then maybe I'll end with a another compilation.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, so, if you take requests for the impending compilation album, I don't know if you're familiar with Dark Cloud 2's soundtrack, but there are like probably 5 to 10 songs on that I think would be perfect. So write that one down.
Yeah, I think that there was a Dark Cloud premium arrange album, and I'm not sure if it had one only or one and two on it, but you know, I remember being impressed with what I was hearing. Do you recall did it feature both games, or was it just the first one?
I feel like there might have been two albums actually that were arrangements, one for the first and one for the second, but that's going on very scattered memory, so don't rely on that. Anyway, that was just kind of an aside. I love some very, you know, lullaby ready songs in that. In that game.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, you know, just digging deep and looking at the numbers, for example. You know, I feel like I kind of made a mistake with the first two volumes in that, you know, the whole concept of music and the value of music and what is it worth and how much should you sell it for, and you know, it's kind of been ingrained that a song is a dollar, you know, 99 cents or whatever.
Right.
So I said, okay, well, why should I make an album with any more than 10 songs then? You know, I'm going to sell it for $10. An album's $10, regardless of how much music's on it. So why not just make it $10 for 10 songs? Mm-hmm. And what I found is that a lot of people are buying the albums piecemeal. So they're skipping the song. They're skipping the games they don't want. And, or, they're focusing on the ones they do want. This album, we had 12 tracks. It's almost 90 minutes of music, which I hadn't really intended, but the arrangements, we have no idea how long the tracks are going to be, and it just ended up being so long that we have 90 minutes of music. Mm-hmm. But, that's kind of a lesson, at least, to kind of give, if you're going to sell a bundle of songs, at least make some incentive to do so. Snake Eater from Volume 2 has sold the most, you know, people love that track.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then close behind that is probably the Skyrim track, and course, the two Nintendo tracks from Volume 1, Dire Dire Docks from Mario 64, Aquatic Ambience from Donkey Kong Country. Those are probably like the top-selling single songs. I'm really surprised that people weren't more intrigued by the Demon Soul track from the first volume.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the standouts, especially that use of silence that's so awesome in that soundtrack, that very long bits of silence between the opening notes.
Well, you guys are in on this. I had... The Volume 1 and Volume 2 both had a booklet where we had some kind of liner notes and stuff. We were going to do that with Volume 3, but Louder dropped their support for digital booklets. And so I was kind of bummed because I'd already prepared all the materials for it. But I know you guys had a glance at it. And
I read through the whole thing while listening to the album. I'm very glad you sent that
along. I love those kind of things being included,
Yeah, so I mean, I'm kind of actually looking for... What my hope is to find some, you know, major sites that want to host some of that content and link to it from our official website is, hey, we don't have a digital booklet, but if you want to know more about the recording process, or you want to know more about why I picked these tracks, or you want to know more about whatever it is, you know, you want to see the interview with Abino, go to this website. So hopefully that material will make its way out over time. And if not, I'll just make it available. you know, in Demon's Souls, I thought, yeah.
Demon's Souls, the silence between the tracks.
Yeah, so the notes that I gave to Hibino on Demon's Souls was, hey, there's a lot of silence between the notes. you might want to reduce that a little bit. And, you know, he's actually, if you read any of the interviews he's given, he always, like, his advice for young, you know, up-and-coming composers and stuff, it's always, you know, there doesn't need to be wall-to-wall sound. Like, silence is useful. Like, make use of silence every now and then. And so it was kind of funny trying to tell him, hey, cut down on the silence.
He's like, that's my thing.
But if you listen to the original track, Maiden in Black from Demon's Souls, it's, there's, like, too much. Like, you almost think the song's over. You're like,
oh,
is that it?
Often. I'm like, oh, that was a good three notes.
So he did tone it down, but it's still in there. And I think that, again, that's one of my favorite tracks on the album.
I agree.
People, when they covered Volume 1, said, oh, Demon's Souls turned into lullabies. You wouldn't expect that.
Right.
But in terms of sales, that's, like, one of the lowest ones. Maybe the people who really wanted it just bought the whole album. I don't know.
Is there a favorite track that you're really happy to get into Lullabies of Mana?
Let me think. Lullabies of Mana. Yeah, you know, like, it was really hard because I had about 15 songs that I wanted to include.
Yeah.
Even given that A Wish was already on Volume 1. And, you know, I'd actually consulted with Kikuda-san on, hey, these are some of the songs I have to pick from for the final inclusion. You know, which one do you think? And, you know, it was interesting getting his input and finding out what songs were important to him. But, yeah, so I almost didn't include Calm Before the Storm,
mm-hmm.
which is, I love that track in the game. You know, it's kind of that victory fanfare after you've beaten the boss and you're kind of, you know, celebrating your victory and talking to people or whatever. That's kind of the song that plays. And that was one of the ones that almost got cut. And then Secret of the Arid Sands was the other one that I was kind of contemplating including. And that's actually Hibino-san's favorite track from this album is that track. I guess when they recorded it, they weren't, you know, he didn't really specify. You read the notes there, but they weren't looking at each other when they performed it. So they were kind of separated, and which is amazing to me that they're able to do this. But I think it's kind of this kind of, like what I told them is Desert at Night. And so that's kind of what they focused on, and I think it kind of exudes that perfectly. I was mentioning earlier is a track that I'm not a huge fan of in the original game, that I included because it seemed like an important track, was What the Forest Taught Me, which it's a good song, and, you know, it's catchy and upbeat, and but it's super iconic for the game, I think. It's kind of encapsulates the kind of the playful nature of what a lot of the music Kudasan was writing. And I think it's my favorite track on the album. So,
nice.
Well, that does speak to probably my favorite thing about these albums is that it totally transforms the original source material. You may hear it one way and think of it in a certain light, but then suddenly you're hearing this version that, in a good way, will put you to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, the style is so specific. It's down to, you know, like the exact same instruments for everything, which makes it like, some songs would be more naturally like that in the original form, and some it's like, wow, they had to take this in a completely different direction because this wasn't at all played with saxophone and piano. So it's interesting to see, like, how some songs change a ton and some only have to change marginally to fit into this system style.
Yeah. A Phantom and a Rose was actually the song, you know, when I started thinking about a third album, I was like, okay, well, this is going to be a compilation. Okay, we didn't have any Secret of Mana on Volume 2. I can do Secret of Mana again. I really want to do a Phantom and a Rose. Because it's just kind of like I feel like it's an overlooked track, but it's just so perfect for this format. It's track 2 on the album, and that's kind of what led to, well, gosh, there's so many other songs I would want to include from Secret of Mana. There's songs that people would want more than A Phantom and a Rose, since it's kind of this obscure song. And then I said, well, gosh, what if I had two? Well, gosh, what if I did a whole album of Secret of Mana? And that's kind of what led to that, was that track specifically. So.
And that's probably why I felt like it felt so cohesive and expansive, because A, what you just said, it's, you know, it's focusing on one game, and B, what you mentioned earlier, which is how they really tapped into sort of the vibes and the instructions you sent along for each song, and tried to get something different out of each track, which I noticed this time. It was pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, and the track order too, I don't know if nobody's probably noticed. The track order on this album is the same sequentially that comes on the soundtrack CD. So, you know, I was talking to
Mustin,
who did all the mastering, was, yeah, you'd notice it if you were kind of like, oh, I need to find the source material. It would, if you went sequentially through, the songs would come in the same order as they do on the CD, minus the ones that obviously didn't record. But, so yeah, I kind of wanted to kind of tell the tale of the game, through the music. And you know, you got nice. Towards the end of the album, A Dark Star, which is one of my favorite tracks from the original soundtrack, and Leave Time for Love, which that was one that I thought was probably challenging for them, because that's kind of an upbeat, kind of decisive track as you kind of scale the final Mana Fortress. And
there were a lot of those in this album. It was impressive to see that.
Yeah, which one surprised you guys?
Well, first of all, I got to say, I was not at all familiar with the any of the Mana games, to be honest.
Oh wow!
JRPGs are our big blind spot, as I'm sure. I'm actually currently listening through the Final Fantasy soundtracks for the first time.
Wow!
So that shows you where we come from. That said, I went back and looked through the source material and compared them, all the different songs, with the reimagining
right on this
album. And I think that probably the one that surprised me the most is Calm Before the Storm, which was maybe my favorite song that I heard from the original soundtrack, and I think my favorite song on this album as well, because it somehow captured like the wistful happiness in that song, but at the same time totally slowed it down and made it into a very peaceful lullaby, I guess. But that was probably my standout
one. I'm really glad I didn't omit that song. I mean, it was so close. Yeah. I mean, there's so many songs I wanted to include, and that was, you know, it was one of my personal favorites, and I didn't know if it would resonate with people. But it's funny because I actually told him, go for the vibe of you probably read in the notes. I think I said something along the lines of, "Hey, shoot for the same vibe you guys did with main theme from Suikoden on the first volume."
Yeah,
Which kind of had that same kind of hospitality, kind of peaceful, like, you know, vibe. So I'm curious to hear what you guys thought of the original track, the original composition that we included in the context of the rest of the album, because important for me to say, okay, yes, this game, this universe, this soundtrack align with what Gentle Love is aiming to do and Hibino Sound Therapy. Why don't you guys, you know, I basically gave them the cover art, you know, with the mana tree and the flamingos flying in the water and told them some stuff about the game and said, okay, well, you know, let's see what you guys can make based on having recorded this entire album and listening to the source material. What is your extension? What is your view of the Mana universe? And they performed that. And I had a version of it. And then a couple days later, we mastered it. And then a couple days later, Ibino was like, oh, hey, I wanted to add some sound effects, some birds chirping and so on. And then we added that in. And I've heard good things about it, but I'm curious what you guys thought of it.
Okay, I'm going to actually take back what I said before. I think Calm Before the Storm is my second favorite song on the album, because I think the Memories of Mana original piece is actually my favorite song. I'm really glad that you guys decided to include the background sounds of birds and frogs and the forest. It is probably the song that I would pick to fall asleep to, because there's something really comforting about it. And I don't know if it's the most memorable melody on the album, but as an overall presentation, as an overall vibe and representation of the album, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting is that the one review I've read of the album on RPG Fan, the writer said he wished that we had included those kinds of sound effects throughout the entire album.
Oh yeah, I could totally get behind that.
I could see releasing like two versions or something, like with sound effects and without sound effects for whoever, like for the people who just
Yeah, because some people don't want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool touch.
Yeah, maybe well that's something we can consider. Well, you know, guys, I really appreciate you guys talking to me and talking about the album. In terms of where people can visit, you know, the series kind of hub is Scarlet Moon Productions, altogether.com/P4S. So that's Prescription for Sleep. And then that's where we have the trailers and the links to purchase, and eventually, well, we'll, if we can find hosts for the booklet material for this last volume, we'll link from there. So stay tuned there. And then you could catch us on Twitter. It's Scarlet Moon LLC. And we're also on Facebook. I think it's Scarlet Moon Productions. And I like to hear from people. It's JAYSON@ScarletMoonProductions.com. Shoot me an email. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you have, you know, suggestions for future volumes. You know, volume one was actually heavily inspired by the article I wrote on Destructoid. So I took some of their feedback and included that on the first volume. So, you know, I want to hear from people, and, you know, I want to hear that we're doing the right thing and that we should keep doing it. So,
and make sure you go vote for lots of Dark Cloud 2 sounds or songs. You will not regret that decision. But anyway, thanks a lot, Jason. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. We've been friends with Jason and Scarlet Moon for about as long as we've been doing video game music podcasts. He was actually one of the first people that we...
I was the first guest.
You were the very first guest
on Train Station at 8.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's awesome to finally have you on the OCR podcast.
Well, thank you, guys. You know, congratulations again. I think that the OC Remix community really benefits from having your guys' experience and insight. And, you know, again, just thanks for thinking of me and including me on this. So, you guys. And thanks for putting up with the difficulties of recording from the Philippines.
It's always an adventure in the Philippines.
Fantastic.
Speaking of adventure, this is my transition.
Oh,
Ryan.
Nice.
Speaking of adventure, it's time to head back to the studio.
And that was a wonderful interview with Sir Napolitano. I just knighted him just now.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Well, so. He is closely linked to Shovel Knight, so I guess it only makes sense.
Exactly. We did have some audio problems there since he was recording on very, very spotty internet and having to, like, stand right next to the router on his phone. But, I mean, it's worth the effort to talk to him.
And it's honestly a miracle that we got it to happen because of the insane time zone differences and the spotty internet. We were very close to giving up, but we forged our way through like we do with all of life.
And speaking of forging our way through, we're here at the send-off of the show.
That's right. If you'd like to learn more about the show, you should probably go to Wales or Wales. .com.
That's Wales, A-R-E.
I'm doing
we're doing the host thing where we like switch off.
Website.
No, that's the... fine, do it.
That's Wales, A-R-E, Wales, .com.
You can also head over to www.ocremix.org to see awesome remix news and just everything from OC Remix.
Indeed, indeed. And hey, if you want to drop us an email, maybe you have some suggestions or an idea for the playlist, you can email us at podcast@ocremix.org.
Or you can reach out on Twitter to give us any of that information in another route at OCR Podcast.
Yeah, and Twitter's fun because I respond a lot faster than I do in email. And then I can like your tweets.
Exactly.
So you can feel validated.
You interrupted me.
Sorry.
And speaking of the playlist, let's go ahead and get into this week's playlist.
Okay.
See you next week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
The playlist is a weekly collection of recommendations so we can all discover music together. This week's theme is rap and hip-hop.
Space Trip Steps from Sonic Adventure 2 and submitted by Square Evil. It's your main man Knuckles, and we're Meteor Herd. You ready to go in space? Help me get the emerald. I'm not all alone. Bad
Eggman's face.
Mass Destruction from Persona Music Live, submitted by Phoenix Down.
Original track by Mr. Metro, arranged by, you know who it is, DJ Kobayashi. Hey, listen. I don't care anymore, enough for fix my buck, right? I go, tried it on, but it didn't fit me so fine. A bad pair of shoes to walk, even if the feet home, I'm probably never gonna talk. Better yet, my mouth is tight like James Bond. You thought me, saw me, next second I'm gone. I don't want a throne, I'm a freelancer. Two for Benjamins, but I'm not a gangster. Show me what you got, if you got it on. Cause I fight not only verbally, volatile man, I ain't got a game that I play. I thought you might like the way destructive everywhere, lay my hands sick to the bone. From the top of the dome, to the tip of my toe, I call the shot, the front man calls. Drop, going nowhere if you wanna take my spot like that.
Ooh, yeah.
On that day, 5 years ago, originally from Final Fantasy VII and remixed by Mega Ran, submitted by Zachary.
Yeah. You ever wish you never were born, thinking you can't weather the storms? That's exactly where I reside, not the one to commit homicide. Everything I thought was the truth was all just a lie, I'm proud of my pride. And if I don't achieve what nobody believes I can achieve, then we all gonna die. Either outcome is horrible, of course, but if we both go, it's war for the course. I think about the slums I'm from, folks are out there fighting over crumbs. And I can't do a thing to assist it, the gist is broke, I can't fix it. I struggle to find the truth, and the more I know, I get more confused. Shower the world in the back, and still I know nobody that can ever walk in my shoes. Searching for who I think is the enemy. Every day he reminds me more of me. So to anyone I ever did wrong, I wish you well, pray you live long. As for me, my choice was made way back in the day, that's what I say.
New Jack Mantle, originally from Nights into Dreams and remixed by Triez featuring Digi Valentine, and submitted by me.
Yo, yo, it's the Invisible Man, hot damn, Jackal, Mad Mantle, ready to jam, it's the freshest you've ever seen him, roll the bass, rock the party through the evening, it's past the disco, beyond any club, you gotta be legendary funky to be allowed to even show up, but if you make it in here, you're in for one hell of a night, cause the party won't stop even if you want it to, the beat takes a hold of you, the funk is so hard it's taking over you, old Jack is now controlling you, but then we'll pop locking on the spot. Got the heads bopping like the Jack in the Box. We're gonna drop the guillotine right from the top. So when it reaches your head, it'll cut it clean off.
Make your way to the dance floor. Don't waste no time. Don't even waste no time. Make your way to the dance floor. Don't waste no time. Don't even waste no time. Go!
DK Rap! From Donkey Kong 64, submitted by me.
Donkey Kong, he's the leader of the bunch. You know him well. He's
You've been listening to the Overclocked Podcast. Next week's playlist is Off-Brand Mario. Don't pick a major platformer. Look for sports, RPG, or something else weird. To submit your suggestions, or just say howdy howdy, hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast. Email us at podcast@ocremix.org, or visit us on the forums at ocremix.org. This week's lyrical wisdom.
Now, once upon a time, not long ago, the Mega CD had all the flow. While Mario was blip-bloppin', Sonic Team was hip-hoppin', cranking out fly tunes way before iTunes. The audio and the video were smooth. You can do anything was all the groove. Every now and then, I'll pull it off the shelf, just to remind me to believe in myself.